Good afternoon, everyone. Time for another edition of Lead Better, the live edition if you're watching right now, and hi to everybody if you're listening later. 24th of September, Sierra Holland joining me to talk about today's field note, which is, again, kind of a very sort of nuts and bolts one. Three questions that leaders must answer before delegating a decision. Lots of decisions have to be made. Leaders have to make a lot of them. And I feel like there's a lot of information out there just saying to leaders, you need to learn to delegate. But then it's all kind of fuzzy about what that looks like. So, I mean, I don't know, with the leaders you encounter, Sierra, are they kind of clear on how they go about delegating?
I think some have a clearer sense of it than others. And it's just because the nature of decision making is so gray. Which ones do I need to make? Which ones would be a good decision-making opportunity for a member on my team? And everybody has a different level of comfortability of where they need to be brought in and when they can really trust somebody else to make the decision. But I like how today's field note is really about make sure you ask yourself these questions and make these three things clear for your team member if they're going to be the ones to make it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we'll get into the three things here in just a minute. But, you know, I recall that a couple of our leadership coaches, and I know you're in the strategic side dealing with like big chunky issues inside of major organizations. They've often said that like when people come to us for executive coaching, sometimes it's around executive presence, or they're trying to deal with how to give feedback or be more inspirational. And that sometimes we'll say, well, why don't we talk about decision making? And they're like, I'm good. Like, who wouldn't be more curious about how to be a better decision maker? And yet apparently some leaders think they've got it all mastered. Now, this field note gets into the particular nature of what you would call the one-way decision or the two-way decision, meaning there is a certain kind of decision that it's kind of hard to turn back from, right? Like, once you're down that path, you're down that path. Other decisions you can kind of try it out, and you worked on it for a while, and you really gave it your best shot, and you could still go back to what you were doing or take a different pathway. So now, that one-way, two-way, I know Amazon has used that, Jeff Bezos has talked about that. Is that the kind of language you use inside organizations when they're laying things out? Do you use that sort of metaphor?
You know, I probably should start using it a bit more. It's not one that I'm using in my everyday, but I think it's something that almost seems more natural to leaders that I work with. They know when they're facing a one-way decision, when they're deciding we're going to go live with this new technology, when they decide we're going to sell this part of our business, when they say, you know, we're going to actually, you know, decide to integrate, or we're going to try a new process for this important, you know, piece of how the organization works or how we run our town halls. You know, it can be clear of certain ones that are more one-way and then other ones that are more two-way. So, you know, the bigger ones where you get out ahead of your skis, you can't go back. Whereas, you know, there are those two-way decisions that leaders are facing every day that they can start to delegate. What's the agenda and how do we run these certain meetings? Do we like this vendor partnership that we have? Could we get more out of a different vendor, and can you run that down? Those are just some examples of more two-way decisions compared to the one-way ones, which are, you know, a bit bigger and require really methodical planning.
Well, it kind of seems like then if we're going to get into this category where we're going to delegate decisions, we've created an issue, which is that we have to now make a decision about who makes the decision, right? So a leader might say, look, I've got to be deeply involved in the one-way decisions, but if it's one of these other ones, you know, then we can kind of like think about, it's not only that you need to duplicate and have your team seeing how you make decisions, it's not just about developing talent, although it is about developing talent, right? I mean, it's just that you can't make all the decisions that need to be made. You can be informed. So what are the things that you're doing to make sure that everybody kind of has at least the muscles, the decision-making muscles, you know, built? So we get to this issue, and the three steps, and we'll just talk about them and break them out, is one, who is the right person to make the decision? You might have a pretty good sense of your team, who's on the playing field. Secondly, who else should be involved in making it? And then the third one is a little bit related. Maybe you can help me. I've kind of got my idea of what is meant in here, but you might have a slightly different view, Sierra, which is who else should have input, right? So who is the right person to make the decision? Who else should be involved in making it? And who else should have input? So let's kind of go to that first one, which is, who should make this decision? Sometimes that would seem to kind of be obvious, but do you see situations where leaders are like, I'm not sure who should make this decision?
Yeah, I mean, I think it often comes down to who's going to have the most expertise and credibility in carrying the decision once it's made. That might be a different way that I think about it of, you know, if this decision is made, who's going to be the person to then carry it forward and really be the face of it? Sometimes, you know, if a leader is trying to delegate downward, it makes sense to then look to your team, figure out who really in my team has the right level of expertise or the right subject matter, you know, understanding of the different power play dynamics that are mm-hmm. out there, or who has the most experience watching me make that decision. There's a lot of different ways that they can cut that, but at the senior most level, I'm thinking, who has the expertise and the mm-hmm. credibility to carry it? And then at the next level down, who has really the most experience to speak to it and be able to make decisions that are most in line with how we would want to make that decision institutionally?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you laid out three pretty good criteria there for who should make the decision. Now, I do want to kind of think about a scenario where, you know, yes, who would have the responsibility for carrying it out? But you can, I would guess maybe, imagine a situation where a leader might look to somebody and think, mm-hmm. they're going to be the one carrying this out, but they might be a little too close to it. Like they might have too many vested interests. That would seem to be a little trickier to unpack, I guess.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to separate who is running down the decision, who's mm-hmm. really thinking it through, who's going to explore all the options. So sometimes I agree, having a fresh perspective or having somebody who really wants to stretch, and they're not going to be the one that carries the decision once it's made, but they're going to be ready and eager to consider, get mm-hmm. different opinions, to really think critically. And you as their leader, you get to see them in a new context, making that decision or informing that decision right before it's made. I can see it happening on both levels because sometimes people are just too close to it. Maybe they built a process and they are the expert on, you know, I don't know, they're the expert on procurement and how contracts really move through the organization.
Right.
If they built that, they're going to have a lot of stake in that staying the same way. So if we want the outcome of the decision to be something that's a new process or that really considers new and innovative thinking, that person actually might be too close to it and might reject any new ideas. So we need to then lean on somebody who has maybe more of those innovative thinking skills, maybe who has domain expertise in a new way of doing procurement. I'm just making things up here, but that's how I would think about it.
Well, I guess this next level of understanding the input issue is decisions do have implications, like across a team and an organization. There's all kinds of things that flow out of those things. And so, you know, you can kind of say, all right, if I think, what was the name? You had a fictional scenario the other day about, Brenda.
Brenda?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to delegate to Brenda. And Brenda's got some subject matter. She's got some skin in the game. But we're also then thinking, all right, who else needs to have input on this? Like, I might be the divisional manager, but I think, you know, Brenda might not have a great relationship with the marketing team. And so I need to get the marketing team to kind of weigh in on this. I'm guiding that. You know, so this issue, I don't know, I guess you could have who's going to be involved. That could sound like it might be directly impacted, like they'll have a role in the outcome. And is the distinction to this third one about who should have input, maybe those aren't people that will be involved, but you need to draw on them for their wisdom. So you can say to Brenda, all right, you got to deal with this second tier team over here because they're going to all be involved. But I also want you to talk to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Is that kind of how you were understanding this?
Yeah, and I had written that part down too, the difference between who's involved versus who do we get input from. Because I think about it as sort of like concentric circles. You know, we have the decision maker right in the middle, that closest circle. We need to keep that group small. So I would think of the involved group as like, who can we not make this decision without having their full engagement and full input in the process of mm-hmm. making the decision? So they're involved from really A to Z is how I think about the people who are involved. Those are people where they have a clear, you know, they might be considered a part owner of the decision. They might be somebody who is a downstream, you know, real recipient of the decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking really close. I think of it like, you know, when you put a slide together, what are the core points that have to be there and take away all of the excess? Who are the three that remain? Those three decision makers are keeping that circle small. When we get to input, it can be that broader group of, we can think about all of our stakeholders and all of the people that this process will touch. And for them, we're not going to involve them in all of the parts of the decision making. You know, maybe we're not having them brainstorm the solution. Maybe we're not having them think through all of the different ways that it connects. But we're asking them for what risks should we be aware of? Mm-hmm. What could this new approach, you know, introduce challenges into your part of the business? Almost to say, you know, we've workshopped our solution with different parts of the organization to make sure we're not going to fall flat on our face, or we're not going to make things harder than we had intended when we had originally set out to fix something or change something. So I would think involved is like part of your real core team. They need to be involved because of their expertise and shared ownership. But then input gets a little bit further away. It says your opinion matters. You're the person on the ground who might be seeing this and can flag issues or opportunities for us. But we still need to keep our decision-making circle fairly small.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I do like to think that I've learned a lot about decision making over the last 7-8 years that I've been working with Admired Leadership. And we do have a lot of content in our main platform for our clients that you can do digitally or with a coach that really get into some powerful things around decision making. But just the routine of kind of thinking this through, if you're a leader and you're kind of making sure that as you delegate, you do this. And you might think, well, some of this, well, yeah, of course I'm going to pick the person that seems to be the best for that. But yet people don't, and they don't always involve people on the outside. I know sometimes Randall, our founding partner, is kind of referred to a very high-level military person that he had coached at one point, and who also then later went into a very high political role, who just talked about the, you know, like out in the field, like a lot of the time it was like, all right, what do we know? Who else needs to know, and have you told them, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, let's get a little 1, 2, 3 to make sure that we've got it all going, because those things really fall apart. You know, I kind of think about the fact that, like, even in our own organization, and this might have been maybe a little before you were even part of the organization, maybe right around the time, we spend a year like looking at like different client relationship software platforms. Mm. And we went through all of this stuff and all this training and everything. And then eventually we just kind of said, you know, this isn't going to work. Because we looked at who all was going to be involved and what the, and they, we kind of went back after a long time to just the way we were doing it. Now we do have a CRM, I guess they call them, for Admired Leadership and how we handle all the thousands and thousands of people that are in our system and the zillions of people that read our field notes. So all of that's great. But those are really interesting, because when you make a decision on a giant CRM or a giant sales platform or something like that, yeah, it's kind of a two-way decision, but it's a hassle if you're going to go in the other direction. Mm. So you really do have to think things through and get a real sense of who is really going to be affected in the organization. I didn't have a real question there, but are you a good decision maker?
Oh gosh, big question. I think I learn more every day. But to your last point of, you know, thinking about who needs to be involved, who can be more tangential to it. I mean, I think if you break down any bigger one-way decision, you'll find a lot of two-way decisions. Mm-hmm. So as I was kind of breaking down this field note and thinking to myself, you know, how have I seen this play out in client scenarios? A great example could be, you know, a lot of organizations want to redefine their values. If mm-hmm. we're thinking about who's the right person to make that decision, that's a little bit more one way, because mm-hmm. we're saying, here's how we define our values for the future. But if we start to break that down in terms of how do we want to start to gather input on the values, somebody else can probably lead that part, whether it's in partnership between comms and HR, whether it's, you know, in partnership with, if they have an employee experience team, some that are either even really close to customers and they know how they care about cultural values.
Right.
I mean, you can think about the concentric circles of making that decision along the way. But that's me evading your question of how good of a decision maker am I? I think I, like many people, and I saw a piece of myself in this, is as you progress in any organization, you start to, you know, feel really comfortable and confident making those decisions. What approach should we take with this client? How should we be tracking these types of things and how we run projects, et cetera? And I'm thinking to myself, there's probably some decisions I need to start delegating and pushing down. So how can I think this is helpful in getting me closer to that, to saying, mm-hmm. here are three questions that if I empower someone else with the answers to these, it'll be better for them and better for me. I'll better be able to manage my time, and I'll better be able to develop the people who are on my team. So that's what I'm taking away today.
Okay, all right, I'll take that away. Okay, I have an update, because earlier, now think of this, twice today and earlier this week, you and I talked about examples involving Amazon, because Bezos has talked a lot about the one-way, two-way decisions, and we talked about the other idea of how they were flagging improvements that needed to be made, and they had like 1,500 suggestions from their own team, and they put them in. And I mentioned that I had an Amazon driver who jumped out of her truck, and she came over, and the box that she had was leaking, and she's like, "This box is damaged. You could take it, and you're going to have to do all the stuff to return it, but you could just let me take it back in the truck, and I'll just mark it damaged." And I was like, "Do that." I was like, "That's great." Well, guess what? They sent me the new package the next day. Same thing. In fact, I think it was the same box.
Same box.
I think it was. Yeah. I think she did her job. I think she took it, probably sent it back, and they were like, "Nah, this is fine. Like, it looks, it's okay. We're gonna, if we send it back and we'll see it." So I opened it, and I think it was like hand soap or shampoo or something that somebody in the house must have ordered. And I did the return thing. I'm just complaining for fun on Lead Better. And because sometimes, you know, they're like, "Just keep it. We'll send you, you know, we'll send you new stuff," right? No, they were like, "Nope, you got to bring
it
back.
You got to
do it." Yep. Yeah. So I had to go out of town, but I'm planning to go like to the Amazon return place with the soap covered drenched box and be like, "Okay, I'm not sure what you're planning to do with this, but here we go." So anyway, this is an opportunity then to see it. Probably it'll all work out, but I had to close the loop on my great disappointment of what happened with the Amazon returns.
It was all looking so optimistic.
It was. All right, well, I think we've done our job here today. We have nobody else to delegate these decisions to, but do it again tomorrow?
I think sounds like a plan.
Okay, thanks, Ira.
See you.